Hey, we're recording.
We're on camera. So smile. Welcome, everyone. I'm Commissioner David Salazar, and here with Commissioner Martha Stonebrook and Chris Bertram. The full commission is present for today's public meeting. Today is August the 7th, and it is about 4:09 in the afternoon. We have a full agenda today. I don't think we've had quite an agenda like this for quite some time. So we're going to do our very best to get through as much, if not all, that's on the agenda today. We want to welcome everybody. I want to acknowledge that Sheriff Rivera is also online, and others in attendance here online and in the room with us today. So with that, why don't we just go ahead and start right in, get down to business. Commissioners, you'll notice that first agenda item today is approval of meeting minutes. And this is something that's relatively new that we have not done. As we'll learn, and we'll have a hearing next week, we're going to have some training on the Open Public Meetings Act. That'll be a regular training that we receive. It's required by state statute, and part of that requires us to keep minutes for any of the meetings that we hold. So you have before you two sets of meeting minutes, quite lengthy at that. Hopefully you had an opportunity to review those before coming to today's meeting. Not only are they lengthy, but they go back a little ways. February 5th and June 11th are the two sets of meetings. And so why don't we just maybe deal with one at a time, and we can maybe get approval on both if need be. But if there's any changes or edits or corrections that need to be made, have you had an opportunity to review those?
Maybe I'd just make a motion and then we could have a discussion.
We can. Entertain that.
I have read both of them.
Okay.
I'll make a motion to approve the Wednesday, February 5th, 2025 meeting minutes.
I second that.
All in favor of the motion to approve the meeting minutes for February 5th?
Any discussion?
Oh, yes. Thank you. I'm a little rusty.
Yeah, it's all right. We haven't done this.
I'm looking forward to vacation, so maybe I'm already halfway there.
There you go.
But not there yet. So any discussion then that either
we have or if people online, I just would say that it's humbling to read your own words back to you.
So
I used to think that I knew what a complete sentence was, but there are many times that, anyway.
So if I could just clarify a little bit on that. The Open and Public Meetings Act requires us to summarize the statements of the individuals. So these are not necessarily verbatim, but there is a recording. We are going to be posting these on the Peace Officer Merit Commission page on the Sheriff's Office website, along with the recording. It may be that you couldn't hear something, and again, for length, and you can see how lengthy it is, even though we've tried to summarize a little bit. They are not necessarily verbatim. So I thought the same thing that, on some of my statements. So I want everyone to be aware of that. They will also be posted, both the meeting minutes and the recording, on the public meetings website. And so if anyone would like to access those, they will be on both places. Might be a little bit easier on the Sheriff's Office website. There's a Peace Officer Merit Commission page, I think, that you're all familiar with. There's already a space there that we've had Chris Bronson, our communications manager, create. And once those are approved, those will be added there for anyone's review.
That's helpful. It is very detailed, and although it's not a verbatim transcript of the recording of what one would hear if they were to listen to and watch the video, that certainly does add to the length. And I'm not opposed to the length on these things, but I mean, that might be a discussion we have when we meet next week.
Okay.
And have that training on how detailed these really need to be. In my experience, dealing with other public bodies, part of the responsibility I have is support for this public body, and we're not near as detailed on this. And so somewhere in between that and probably this, that we could be, but this nonetheless is an attempt to make sure that we're in compliance with the law. Yeah. And these do represent the official record of the meeting. The recording is nice, but that is not the official, those aren't the official minutes or count as the official minutes for the meeting. So these written minutes really do just that. So it is important that they're accurate and correct.
But we could look at summarizing them, and that's something, but I guess better to have more than less,
absolutely.
But we'll look toward that of doing a little more summary.
And hopefully that makes it easier for you and your staff, whoever it is that's drafting.
Yes, exactly. We'll pass that on.
These take a lot of work.
Yes.
A lot of work.
Yes, a lot of work.
I've done that, so I know that for myself.
Appreciate that feedback and you know, being conscious of our time.
Okay. Any other discussion relative to, okay, then I'll go back to the motion then that was made and seconded to approve these minutes as they've been presented. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, we're good to go on that.
Okay.
I'll make another motion that we approve the Wednesday, June 11th, 2025 meeting minutes.
I second that. Any discussion?
Okay. Yes. Any discussion about the particulars of these minutes? Questions, concerns, corrections? Okay. There being no further discussion, bring it back to the commission. All in favor of the motion to approve the minutes as presented for Wednesday, June the 11th, 2025. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay. We've got some approved minutes. Our first.
Thank you.
Okay, let's move on to agenda item number two then. And let's see. I'm just looking at ahead of public comment. I think we'll do, follow what we have done in the past and just kind of for each one of these address that. Okay. So item number two on the agenda is to review and approve the 2025 Law Enforcement Bureau Sergeant Promotional Exam Plan. That is in your folders, commissioners. And so with that, we'll turn this over to Karita to talk us through this particular plan.
Okay. And just for the record, this has been sent out on the sheriff's distribution list twice to all employees. We're also showing it on the screen for those that are in the room or online. So we'll start with, obviously there's a cover page. So moving to the second page, we have the Peace Officer Merit Commission listed. We have the Merit Commission staff, and we have the advisory board. And for this examination, it is Chief Deputy Jason Ackerman with the Law Enforcement Bureau, Deputy Chief Zach Van Emmerich with the Law Enforcement Bureau, Captain Nate Lord with the Law Enforcement Bureau, and Sergeant Tyler Richmond with the Law Enforcement Bureau. Those are the individuals that develop the examination. Next, we have important information. Those are the policies that guide the promotional testing. These are the same policies that have been in effect for many years. Anyone who's interested in accessing those, there's a link there. And again, as I stated, I have sent them out electronically. They can click on that link, or they can go again to the Peace Officer Merit Commission webpage and access those policies. Moving on to page three, we have the minimum qualifications for the test. These are the same qualifications that have been used in the past, with the exception of the service time. If you go to B, we have must have a minimum of 5 years service time within his or her category in the sheriff's office or UPD if hired with the sheriff's office by July 1st, 2024. So UPD service time will count for those that came over on the interjurisdictional transfers, and that time will be counted. This is a sergeant exam, so that would be at the rank of a deputy. So 5 years as the rank of a deputy with the sheriff's office or an officer with UPD. Outside public safety credit at a maximum of 2 years. We only allow that for the sergeant's exam. That is not allowed any outside service credit for the lieutenant or captain, but we do allow that for the sergeant exam. That would need to be LEO. So that would not, if there's corrections experience or SFO, that would not count as outside service. However, if they were in patrol with another agency, up to 2 years could be counted. Education, a bachelor's degree is required. So if you have 5 years and a bachelor's degree, you qualify. If you don't have a bachelor's degree, you would need 9 years total, and this the service time would replace the bachelor's degree. Okay, moving on to the next page. We have the sergeant testing competencies, and we actually have two additional that this advisory board felt was appropriate. So the leadership. So the last two are additional that this advisory board added: the leadership, the ability to influence others, provide direction, and inspire the vision of what can and should be done, and then knowledge, the essential knowledge required to effectively discharge one's responsibilities, including laws, ordinances, and court decisions relevant to the operation of the sheriff's office, principles of police science, sheriff's office policies and procedures, principles of management and supervision, applies appropriate procedures and principles in management and supervision. So for those that are taking this test, take, you know, note of those, although those do, you know, go along with what we have tested for, you know, as sergeant.
Yes, ma'am. You read it the way that it, I think, should be. You read it as effectively discharge one's responsibilities, including laws,
okay,
plural, ordinances, and
okay,
so forth.
Thank
so,
you. Appreciate that correction. Okay, then the scope and the content of the examination. So again, candidates must have an overall score of 70%. So for phase 1, 2, and 3, they must score 70%. As we have done with our other sergeant's tests with our corrections and Public Safety Bureau, we're having a written policy test. However, we are not requiring that they pass that at 70% to be able to move on to phase 2 and phase 3. And Commissioner Bertram brought this up last time on the public safety sergeant's exam, that did we have a large enough candidate pool that if we eliminated someone at the first phase, you know, would that perhaps limit and you know, have an adequate pool? In this case, with our law enforcement bureau being smaller, there is that concern, and so we are not having that requirement that they pass that policy test to be able to move on. All three phases will be scored, and then they must pass that at 70%.
So again, to be clear, the combination of all three phases, the scores need to be a total of 70% of the total.
70% or above, yes, yep.
And each phase, the score will have the same weight. It'll be the complete average of the
No, they'll have different weights, and on the next page, we'll get to those examination weights.
Okay.
Yeah. So the written policy test consists of 100 policy questions from the Sheriff's Office Manual, the Law Enforcement Operations Manual, and Utah State Statutes. A list of relevant state statutes will be provided to the candidates to prepare for the test. Now, I want to be clear, and the advisory board can help me. We've recently updated the Law Enforcement Operations Manual. But my understanding is that the candidates will be provided with the manual without the new updates. So they should know, you know, what's in there. Is that accurate, Chief Ackerman?
Or? So it's actually been updated, and all of the current policies on our Power DMS system are current.
Are current. Okay, so they should be studying what is on the Power DMS.
Yep.
Okay,
and
so
that was a message was put out to all the distribution lists, so they all have that information.
Okay.
They all have access to that particular program.
Correct.
Okay, thank you for that clarification. Phase two is an oral interview, and that will consist of behavioral and situational questions. This will evaluate the candidate's essential knowledge, skills, and abilities as outlined in the competencies. And then there'll be a phase three, which is a situational scenario designed to determine the applicant's ability to lead, multitask, prioritize, problem solve, and handle stress under pressure as a sergeant in the sheriff's office. And then turning to the next page, we have the evaluation board. That will be Sergeant Tyler Richmond with the Law Enforcement Bureau, Sergeant Brian Pickle with the Law Enforcement Bureau, Sergeant David Jensen, again with the Law Enforcement Bureau, and then our outside evaluator, Sergeant Rob Ties from the Salt Lake City Police Department. The testing schedule, the application period will open on August 11th. It will close on August 25th. The written policy test will be on September 8th at 2 p.m. And again, details of location and any other details will be provided to the candidates. The oral interview and the situational scenario will be September 9th through the 11th. And again, they will be emailed with their specific date and time. And then, Commissioner Stoneberg, to answer your question as far as the examination weights, the policy test will be 20%. The oral interview will be 35%. The situational scenario will be 40%. And seniority will be 5%, for a total of 100%. And with that, I turn it back to the Commission.
Okay, thank you. Any questions for the comments? I see you've got some things marked up by this. Do I, Commissioner Bertram, go ahead.
Carita, one thing, I appreciate you making that note about the 70%, but I wonder if I get a little confused, if you could change in that first sentence, overall on the promotionary test to overall on the promotionary examination. Just because
okay.
Then there can't be confused or somebody come back and say, that test, you mean the written test? Just that may be a point of clarification because this is an examination plan. Just call it the examination, just so nobody comes back with that.
Appreciate that, okay. And we have that noted.
The other thing I just bring up, the fact that you brought up two more competencies, specifically with knowledge, and that what you're asking them, principles of police, you know, science, for instance, you know, at a sergeant's level, a little more advanced, but it goes into the written test issue, and I did get a phone call from a member today just a very general phone call because I told him, not outside the meeting, I don't want to discuss this, but he was unable to be here because of an investigational conflict, and he just brought up, he didn't think that 30 days was enough time to prep for this test, and again, I took it culturally 30 years that we've members know that they've got, you know, they could be studying for a year, and it typically you would not change that with policy, procedure, ops manual, and state law. He just brought up the fact that, you know, thought that was a little bit short of time, and I just think with the fact that we're bringing in knowledge that the ops manual was changed, or maybe not available for the last few months, I'm just wondering, and I don't mean to push back more than 30 days, you know, we test in the fall. It's an ongoing test. Members should know that by now. It's I think three decades of doing it. We started in 1995 doing it. So I don't think, but I do bring that up because he did mention it to me. And with the competencies changing, have we given, and I go back to you, do you believe that we've given them enough time with operations manual and policy manual with the changing of the competencies to say, we want you to even know those more in this case, because knowledge is now a competency, and you're specifically saying knowledge of those manuals are a competency. Would it be wise to push back 45 days? I'm just wondering, because that comment didn't mean anything to me until I heard about the competencies and maybe the ops manual maybe not being available. Just wonder if we ought to give them a little more time. State laws, obviously, you're going to give them the statutes. They're going to have a very limited time to study those, which has been, again, something more recent. I will tell you, when I took the test and we were doing it, you literally had to read the whole state code because we could take it from anywhere. You narrow that down, and I think that helps candidates a little bit more focus on it. But my just thoughts, and again, I'm not asking for more than 30 days. I'm just bringing that up because that is now a competency.
Can I just interject for like, I mean, I have a related question, and maybe it may help to address my question first, would be, because I marked those two things when you noted they were new. So my question is, are those in fact new competencies, or are they competencies that have always been established, they're just newly highlighted as a competency that will be tested on in this exam?
I can address both of those concerns. So the addition of the Chief Deputy Jason Ackerman, part of us adding those two competencies in is in our testing with UPD for the sergeant rank, those were competencies that have always been included. They're not included here over at the Sheriff's Office. Those are the same competencies, but they're included at the Lieutenant and the Captain rank. But when we were traditionally with UPD, leadership and knowledge were part of the initial sergeant examination, and so we did add those two in. And then to answer the just more of a clarification on the policy issue, what we were referencing to earlier was the full policy has been available to the Bureau prior to this implementation on Power DMS. How it was before is we were only able to upload the law enforcement manual that came over from UPD, and a lot of that was just semantic changes from UPD to Sheriff's Office, officer to deputy, and just the rank structure changes. The Sheriff's Office policy has always been available to all of our Bureau, but it has been on SharePoint. So they've been available, but on two separate systems. What we're referring to now is all of the SharePoint policies have been migrated over to Power DMS for the full complement of policies.
Just a clarification, when you say two systems, did the Law Enforcement Bureau deputies in the last 12 months have access to both systems?
Yes, not for the full 12 months on Power DMS. That is a more recent
thing. On SharePoint?
On SharePoint, it was just Sheriff's Office policies.
So the Law Enforcement Operations Manual was where in the last 12 months?
Has been on Power DMS for, I'd have to check, but it's been on for longer than the Sheriff's Office policy just got migrated.
So more than 12 months?
No, that's been a new program we added within the last 12 months. But
less
more
than 60 days?
I think that I want to say that those have been available for over 2 months.
Okay. And available to all law enforcement deputies?
That's my understanding, yes. I know that there was a few one-offs that we had to work through in getting passwords and logins taken care of, but by and large, most of those should have been addressed.
It seems to me that the written policy test has pretty much been the same as it has been in the previous tests and things that
we've done that for the other two bureaus, yes.
And in that it says a list of relevant that you need to, in addition to the policy manual, you need to have the Utah state statutes. And I think that could be pretty much letting them know that they need to know the laws, not the whole code, because you indicate that you provide them a list of relevant state statutes to be provided to prepare for the test. So my thought on that is that you're not going to expect that they have even a greater knowledge than mastering that list that you provide them of those. And am I
That would be a fair representation,
there?
Yes.
Okay, just wondering.
Other questions? Commissioner Burcham? The answer or the response you're receiving, where does that leave you in terms of?
I think 30 days is enough. I think those, there are people, and again, always an argument based on your assignment that you may have more time and availability to read policies and procedures for 6 to 9 months. Others may not, and they may be focused in the last 30 days to do it. I just want to make sure that if what you're representing, that there's the operations manual has been there for 2 months, it's been available. You know, I would just hope for somebody to come forward and say, listen, I haven't had access until today. It's not that I would give them another 6 months to do it. I think it would be more to say, give them an extra 2 weeks. But I think if they've had access for 2 months and they took the initiative to do that, it makes it fair. So, but again, Chief, I would say if there's an outlier who didn't have access for 2 months and you and I, you've got access, but I don't because of a computer glitch, I would just consider that you may want to throw another week or two in there as a consideration. Not saying a candidate, it would have to be a specific candidate that they could say that I haven't had, you know. And maybe that's brought up at the, are you going to have, I didn't see a meeting.
No orientation.
No orientation.
Yeah,
no,
for this one, we're not doing an orientation. Yeah, being a sergeant level, yeah.
I just, with that potential anomaly, I wonder if it would be just appropriate to make sure that there is, when this goes out, the announcement goes out, just, you know, that there's in a small group of people to say, we want to verify that everybody has access to that system. And that at least for 30 days, I have access to the system. There's no glitches. I'm not going to log on and find out I'm locked out. And then 2 weeks later, I'm at it. Just to make sure that they, you know, communicate with you immediately that I don't have access to that system. New system, there's always going to be glitches. Make sure that we don't have anybody. But I guess I'm good with 30 days.
Juan, and my feeling is that, you know, once the announcement about this exam plan goes out, and it's clear to everybody that this will be a required part of the test, they'll need that access. I mean, those who are going to be eligible to test, I feel like it's incumbent upon them to go and make sure that they have the access, and if they don't, then for some reason they should notify you as soon as possible to make sure that that's not an issue.
To my knowledge, there is no specific one that comes to my mind. I do recall that as we were trying to roll this out, there were some issues with passwords and getting logins and getting the whole bureau. But specific ones, I don't have that information. Okay. I could get that, though.
And just a caveat to that is I would just, Ben, not wanting to have a, you know, complaint based on somebody saying something didn't work. I would just say that maybe in the announcement, because there's not an orientation, to just say it is incumbent upon the candidate to make sure that their accesses are available immediately and notify us if they are not. Meaning that if they wait 2 weeks, you've told them, sure, you've been forewarned. But I think that would be important because I'd hate for somebody to come forward 2 weeks or 3 weeks later and say, listen, I only had access for a week. And this is a pretty big manual and there's a lot to get covered. So just a reminder so that we can say, you've been put on notice. Come on, May.
I think it's a great suggestion.
Yeah, so we'll put that, you know, in the notice as you stated that if you don't have access to any of these, you know, policies that are listed, you need to notify us immediately. So, okay.
So just to be sure that, I mean, I think what we're saying then is that we're not suggesting there need to be any change in the date, the testing schedules that's been presented, but making those additional announcements and clarifications would be helpful. The only other thing that
test dates.
I'm sorry?
Sergeant Mike Russell, the test dates are, we have your interview and administrative situation scenario supposed to be the 15th to the 18th, so I'm not sure why.
Is there something wrong with the dates?
There is.
Yeah, it's a week late. It's
okay.
A week later, so it's the 15th through the 18th.
Okay, which date, what are we talking about? Which component are we talking about?
The oral interview and administrative situational scenario.
Okay. And those dates are incorrect and should be what?
The September 15th through the 18th.
Are all of the other dates correct? We have August 11th for the test application period opening, August 25th for the promotional application deadline, and September 8th for the written policy test. At 1,400 hours.
I believe the other dates are right. I just know that we did push back the second phase 2 and 3 on this.
Okay.
Do you need just a minute to check that? Yeah, but we'll give you a minute to check that.
While you're doing that then, let's, the only thing I was going to add, Commissioner Bertram, you had asked about, I think there was a clarification given on submitting the minimum qualifications to test number 3. I just made a note here with regard to the outside public safety credit. Karita, you clarified that that is 2 years LEO certification.
Correct.
That is required.
Correct.
Just thinking it might help just
to add
specify
that LEO.
That,
okay.
That that's
so
2 years of.
Okay. Outside.
LEO.
LEO. Okay. Yeah. Yep. I got it noted. Thank you.
Okay. Anything else from any of the other commissioners? Okay. Let's. Do we know dates yet?
Okay, so we'll table that for a minute, and do you want to get your computer, go check, and then we'll table that for a
minute. We'll open up to public comment then, knowing that there is a just confirmation that's being done on the testing schedule dates. Anyone who would like to make a comment, again, this is time for any clarifying questions, any expressions of support for or concerns about the testing or the exam plan as it's been presented. If you'll just be sure to state your name for the record when speaking and speak loudly. I think there's probably mics around the room, but just to be sure, unless you're directly under one or next to one, it might make it easier to hear if you speak loudly and clearly. So,
and if you're online, you can just go ahead and unmute yourself.
That period is open now, so feel free to speak, anyone in the room or online.
With those people up there,
you don't have anyone in the chat. That's also an option to enter any comments in the chat, but right now we don't have any.
This is Lieutenant Scott Laughlin. Just for the record, we're limiting public questions to 3 minutes. So you'll have 3 minutes if you to speak.
All right.
Okay.
Usually it doesn't take more than that amount of time for somebody to speak, but that's good to know. Okay. Hearing no public comment, questions, concerns, we'll kind of assume that silence is what do you call that? Accepting or being okay with the plan. We haven't yet confirmed those dates, and so I'm going to suggest that we close public comment, and then we'll come back to this, and I'll entertain a motion to approve the plan once the confirmation of those dates has been submitted.
Before we table, just a quick, how many do you anticipate? Less than 10?
Probably.
And do I, is anybody here from law enforcement?
I can't really see their names.
Brent Rogers.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
But
there's only
they
one.
Don't want
there are.
They
that's
don't
not represented.
Speak.
Less than 10.
And those people there that show like Brent Rogers and so forth, they are on mute, but they can listen
they,
to us.
Yeah,
they know that
they
have not.
Yeah, they can listen and they can unmute themselves to speak or raise their hand if they need to.
Just
And they also can chat. If they had a question, they can send it in the chat.
Great. Great.
And again, because the plan sent out, I think a lot of people understand it and then maybe don't feel a need to, you know, attend the meeting.
Okay.
But we have that option for those that want to.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we'll just table that for the time being and come back to that. We'll move on to agenda item number 3. This is a request to review and approve the public safety and corrections deputy lateral recruitment plan.
Yeah, and this plan has been ongoing, but we had a couple of changes. We went through and kind of reviewed and tried to make sure like, okay, does that plan, you know, still apply? And there were a couple of things that we felt like needed to be added. So if you turn to the second page, you'll see in red there, Must be a U.S. citizen, but post now also allows, or lawful permanent resident for the last 5 years continuously. So they can either be a U.S. citizen or a lawful permanent resident continuously for the last 5 years to qualify.
And I was just going to ask what LPR is, but you just said it a second time, and so I get it's lawful
permanent resident. Yeah. So, and we're just trying to get that pulled up now. So hopefully, just 1 minute. There it is.
Show that with a special. It's a special form that they.
Yeah, there's documentation that they have that they provide that can verify that, and we have that pulled up now. It's highlighted in the blue there. Going on to the next page. For preference points, we did not previously have the first two. Full-time sheriff's office employees getting 5 and part-time. And we have that in our entry plan, and so we feel like it should have been included in our lateral plan. Not sure if it was an oversight, but we have added that and feel like that is appropriate. And those, let me see here if there are any other changes. We did update also on the second page the Merit Commission staff, Merit Coordinator Scott Laughlin, Merit Coordinator Mike Russell, and Merit Coordinator Amber Arnold. So that has been updated. And then the rest, the weights and everything else is the same. So this is just kind of one of those kind of technicalities, you know, in updating the plan.
Karina, would you, I mean, just clarify, I think I know the answer to the question, but when we're talking about laterals, we're talking about this would be hiring individuals from other public safety agencies?
That or hiring from a different category. So if we have someone who's law enforcement officer certified in public safety, and they want to apply laterally to our law enforcement bureau, and they meet those qualifications, you know, we have a lot of retired, for instance, with PSB, that they have LEO experience, so they would meet that year. And so then they would be, you know, allowed to apply. So it's also for internal candidates that meet the requirements. Now, again, if you're a correctional officer and you don't have the LEO, then that, you know, they would not qualify for the lateral. So, yeah.
Okay, thank you for that clarification. All right, any questions? This one was kind of short, and we went through it rather quickly.
I just had a question on the page 2, and again for public safety deputy position. Just I know that you guys took out the parole and probation designation out of that and just included, you know, law enforcement officer. I'm just in federal law enforcement officer, corrections officer. I'm just wondering if there ought to be, and again, looking at a designation from other states, there are times when you have, for instance, a federal probation officer. That is not a corrections officer. That is not a federal law enforcement officer. That is a probation officer. Some states actually designate California probation and parole agents versus corrections or. And I'm just wondering if to make sure that we're clear that we would accept that as a lateral.
Okay.
As a law enforcement, just to add that back in, probation and parole.
Probation and parole, okay.
Because we've got federal probation and parole, not corrections, not a law enforcement.
This is the
right above exam content.
Sorry.
For public safety deputy position?
Right. The last one. It seemed like when I was reading your draft that it had been X'd out, and we kind of, and I think it was for simplification. But it was on there in the past, and I think it got lined out. So I think it would be good just to make sure, especially when we have people coming in from out of state or a federal probation parole.
Okay.
How do we designate that? It is an interesting status.
Okay.
They haven't necessarily been corrections officers. They haven't been law enforcement officers. But it is a status that is a, should say, yeah, it is an LEO type of function.
Designation. Okay. Yeah. We've made note of that.
Okay.
So I appreciate that feedback.
And the other question I had was on the part-time sheriff's office employees. You would, to get the 2.5 points, you would have to have the 2,080 hours. And would you, if you had less, Are you going to bifurcate that down to say, I have 1,000 hours, I can get 1 hour or 1 point, or do you have a breakdown from that?
We do not. We do not prorate that.
And I just so if, for instance, I'm on search and rescue, but I have not had 2,800 call-outs, which would take me, I think, many years, is there a way to maybe qualify or quantify that in a way that they could get at least some points for 5 or 10 years of service on the search and rescue, for instance?
Yeah, we have not allowed that in the past, although, you know, a search and rescue, a lot of times those are days, so, you know, each call out, you know, would probably amount to more, you know, hours than, right, than, like you said, 2,000, you know, 80, you know, call outs, but we have not in the past. I don't know if, you know, we could look at prorating that.
But as it currently stands, what you're saying is that there's got to be a minimum of 2,800 yes. hours for it to be counted. Otherwise,
yes.
it doesn't count at all. So it's all or nothing.
It's all or nothing is how we've done it. Yes.
I guess that for a part-time employee, that's probably something that in a few years you can obtain. But, you know, it would take a few years to get the 2,000. If you're a volunteer, it may take a decade or more. And so I'm just, if you're valuing, for instance, your, you know, victim advocate volunteers or your some of these other volunteers, think about search and rescue, I think about maybe VAs, you know, victim advocates. If you want, again, trying to find a way to embrace and credit them for some years, but less than 2,080.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
But tell me what your feeling
that,
is on that.
That certainly, I think, you know, we could discuss that with the leadership team. I would ask that maybe, since this is the standard, that we, you know, if you would be willing to approve it with the commitment that I'll discuss this with the leadership team. We have other meetings that are coming up shortly, and we could bring that back for a revision, specifically for the, like you said, the volunteers. I think the part-time, that's reasonable, but maybe we need to look at something for the volunteers.
Again, if I could just ask, the full-time sheriff's office employees that are able to make this lateral move just must have successfully completed probation by the date they've applied. So how long is that?
The probation is 12 months. Yeah.
Okay. And the part-time, do they have a probationary period also?
So it depends. We have some merit part-time positions. We have some temp positions. The temp positions, they don't. The volunteer, they don't. And a lot of times those are civilian positions, right? So they would be given credit if you're a civilian, you know, working, and now I'm applying for a sworn position. So it's not just sworn. We don't have part-time sworn positions currently.
So currently the only requirement for probation would be for full-time employment. There is no similar requirement for part-time.
No, but it's just so much less than these 2,080 hours. It's that's about 2 full years plus.
Well, and I'll just make it is I was reserved for a year with the sheriff's office before I got hired full time, and I got some credit. It wasn't the full amount, but I did get a little bit for that less than a year that I had when I applied. And I'm speaking from, you know, there may be victim advocate volunteers or volunteers, you know, in search and rescue that may want. And I appreciate that they've dedicated themselves to the office for free. And I'm just trying to find out, maybe there's a soft spot in there. I will approve, and Karita, just so you're aware, I am going to approve this. I just, you know, consider that, because that's a heavy lift in my mind.
Absolutely. And we, you know, we'll take that back to the leadership team and make sure that there's some additional consideration given to that.
Any other questions from the commission?
No.
Okay. With that, we'll open this up to public comment then. Again, we're focused on the corrections of public safety deputy lateral recruitment exam plan. That's a mouthful. And anyone who would like to make a comment, ask a clarifying question, or otherwise make remarks, please state your name for the record loudly and clearly. And we'll open that up now to both those present in the room and anybody online.
Okay, real quick, this is Lieutenant Scott Laughlin. We have a chat from Captain Aaron Torres that just says, the original intent of the PSB lateral recruitment when you helped create it was to include LEO certified probation officers, both local and federal probation officers, that had sworn arrest authority. So I agree with Commissioner Bertram.
We'll go ahead and add that.
Yeah, and this is Captain Torres online, so you can hear me.
We can.
I appreciate you considering that. Just one other quick comment. In the minimum qualifications, there is still one reference to protective service officers that hasn't been changed over to public safety.
And Captain Torres, where is that so we can make sure we catch that?
It looks like, I don't know, about 9. It's on the, that must be free of physical, emotional, mental condition.
Okay.
Under that link?
Yeah, under
the link.
Under the corrections.
Oh, there we go. Yeah. Okay. Yep. Got it. Thank you for that catch.
You bet.
So what are we changing something?
Just changing the protective services to public safety deputy.
So that was a former title, and so and in most places that was updated, but that was missed.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good catch.
All right.
Worth the catch.
Oh, please.
Okay. Thank you, Captain. Any other comments? Yes,
Matt Thompson. Just a question of whether, I know there was some discussion about whether you include the end post again with the in public safety. I know originally there was some concern with it about whether it would cause, whether we would diminish our applicant pool based on having the end post, but we've seen enough recruitment or interest in the last couple of recruitments that it might actually be a helpful thing to start filtering out the numbers we're getting, and because we're getting enough that we have that option now.
Okay, so just to be clear, your suggestion is?
To add the end post score, not even necessarily saying a minimum, but just say that they have taken the end post as part of the application process.
So as a requirement?
Correct.
And minimum qualification.
So generally that's a entry level exam where the end post's not a lateral. It could be that, you know, years ago the MPost wasn't, you know, required when they, you know, became an officer. So I'm a little concerned about requiring that for a lateral, but I think we could look at that for, you know, an entry.
And just Lieutenant Scott Laughlin again, people from out of state will come in and challenge Utah post tests, and they don't have the end post. So like, we have a couple of applicants that are federal from back east that are currently in the process of challenging that test. That'd just be another test they'd have to take if we included it in this.
Okay. And what would that tell us?
Some of that we've seen, at least on sort of with new hires and watch them go through FTO. It may not necessarily be a good predictor, and this is true, a good predictor of long-term career success. But it is a pretty good predictor of whether they, for an entry level, for example, pass the academy or pass their FTO in just basic report writing and things like that.
And is this lateral, Ms. Lucy, is this lateral recruitment exam for any level
For entry. We only allow lateral for entry level, and this is specifically, we have a separate plan for our law enforcement bureau that the commission approved. This is specific to corrections and public safety.
Okay. Should it say that, or should I maybe have known that?
It's on the top title. It will say corrections and public safety.
Just for the deputy only.
Yeah,
That is the entry level position.
Yeah. Okay, thanks.
Yeah, for lateral, yep.
Okay, that's good. And thank you, sir.
Other comments? Questions? Always check your back. All right. Nothing more online? Okay, with that, we'll bring it back to the commission.
I have one thing, Carita. When I read this the other day, I could swear that we brought up dip or constables were mentioned in this lateral.
You're looking at the service credit, which is in the policy.
Okay.
And so you will see that later on. Yep.
Later today. I'm confusing.
Yes.
Sorry
yes.
about that.
Yep.
And just because that is for service, are we interested with a public safety deputy or a corrections position? Are we interested in including a constable's position?
So the positions that we have listed are examples. They're not necessarily limited to that. So it's really, you know, the certification. They have to either have the LEO or the SFO certification. So if they were a constable and they had the SFO certification and they're applying for public safety, they would qualify for that.
Thank you for clarifying that.
Yes.
I read a lot, so I'm sorry I confused those as I had seen this now. Thanks.
Okay, any other questions from the commission? Okay, with that, I'll entertain a motion to...
I would move that we approve the corrections and public safety deputy lateral recruitment exam plan with an understanding of the corrections we've noted and also looking at the hours for the part-time, as long as those are subsequently firmed up. That's my motion.
And I'll second that.
Okay, and to be clear then, with that motion, I mean, we're talking about accepting the plan, the hours, the points, as they've been presented in this plan. That is something that will be considered for a future plan.
Yes.
For a future plan. Okay, that's fine.
Okay. All right?
Yes.
Okay, all in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Okay.
And I think we might have clarification on the dates.
Yeah, I think Sergeant Mike Russell, with your concerns about the policies being sent out, not having access to those, I think we're going to drastically change the dates on the policy.
Okay, so we're back on agenda item number 2. Just to be clear, this is the 2025 law enforcement sergeant promotional exam plan, and we're talking about the testing schedule date.
Correct.
Okay.
Okay.
So the test has to start in September. So we're gonna move the policy test to September 29th. That'll give them plenty of time to look at the policies they were just given a couple days ago on Power DM tests. That'll clear up that. So can the oral interview and administrative situation scenario will be pushed out until October 6th, 7th, and 8th?
Okay, so then to be clear, we're going to plan to still announce and open the test.
We will announce the, we'll keep those.
Okay, so August 11th then continues to be the date for that. The application deadline will still be August 25th.
Okay.
You'll just have much more time. And maybe you'll get to enjoy your Labor Day holiday if you're lucky enough to have that day off. For the written policy test, which is now being moved to September 29th,
great.
Same time at 1400 hours, and then the oral interview and administration or administrative situation scenario will be pushed to October 6th, 7th, and 8th.
Correct.
Okay. Are we good, Commissioner? Clear?
Yes.
I think hopefully that addresses those concerns about time to study and
You didn't necessarily have to do that, but I do appreciate it. I think that it puts us in a
very... Email was sent out a couple days ago with all the Power DMS stuff and all the...
Then everyone should have
but
that
But they had it prior on the SharePoint, however now they'll fold everything, they have everything.
So everyone will have
just,
that same
As a clarification, just make sure again that when you'll set out that encourages them to make sure that they do have access.
Yeah.
Plenty of time.
And they should have plenty of time.
Yeah.
They should have plenty of time.
All right. With that, then, I will move that we approve the law enforcement sergeant promotional exam plan as it's been presented, including modifications to the testing schedule dates, as we just discussed.
I second that.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded to approve the exam plan. All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. All right. Good to go. Good discussion.
Thank you.
Okay. I'm just checking the clock here. It looks like we're good on time. It's a little, a few minutes after 5 o'clock.
Yeah, we had scheduled until 5:30, so yeah. We'll see what we get through. Yes.
Okay. All right. Then just following the order, agenda item number 4 is the request is to review and approve the Peace Officer Merit Commission Public Safety Classification Plan. And if you'll start out first by just kind of, we just dealt with exam plans. This is maybe a little something different than we've seen before, and help us understand what it is that we're.
Yes, and this is actually in Policy 4400. In Policy 4400, it talks about that the Merit Commission will adopt a classification plan for all deputies. The Merit Commission will approve new position classifications into the classification plan. In the event a new position is created and approved, the position will be classified and become part of the classification plan. With our law, it's been some time since we've needed to update that, but with the addition of our Law Enforcement Bureau, we have added those positions to the classification plan. These are only merit positions, so you will not see any of our appointed positions, any temporary positions. These are merit positions that the Peace Officer Merit Commission has classified. So you recall when we created our deputy, law enforcement deputy, law enforcement deputy 3B, sergeant, sergeant 3B, lieutenant and captain, those job descriptions were brought to you and you approved them. There's some confusion sometimes with the public safety pay plan. The pay plan is not governed by the Merit Commission. And there was confusion years ago on that, and I think those got intertwined. However, the Merit Commission governs the classification, and the pay plan is governed by the Salt Lake County Council and budgetary needs and things of that nature. So what we've done here is added the Law Enforcement Bureau and those positions that were previously approved and classified. These are not, we're not asking for approval of these positions. These positions have been approved and classified. This is just the plan outlining all of those positions that have been classified by the Merit Commission.
So we're just formally adding those to the classification plan.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. And the reference to the grades, we don't have control over. Yeah. They're just there for information.
They're there for information for, you know, people to be aware of. Those are the current grades. Those will likely change during this next, you know, pay cycle, salary cycle, and so we'll need to then, you know, change those. But you know, they are listed on the job description, and so it makes sense to include them in the classification plan.
And just from my information, why would you be expecting a change then in these grades? You said it could be coming, but
yeah, so annually, generally, we get pay increases, and so with that, there can be grade changes.
Okay.
Yeah, so, and we are actually in that process right now. So we are on a calendar year instead of a fiscal year, so we're currently, you know, working and analyzing right now on what those compensation increases will be. But those are what they are right now. We're not asking, you know, for the commission to change that pay or anything else, just that, you know, this is the plan, adding the LEB positions.
And just following on Commissioner Stoneberg's question, this is a question just because this is what I do in my day job. And I'm just curious, does the sheriff's office have the ability to change a grade mid-cycle, or does that require council approval typically to do that?
That requires council approval.
Makes it tough for you guys.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Any other questions?
No.
Okay. With that, let's open it up to public comment. And anybody who has questions or comments with regard to the updates to the public safety classification plan. Again, for clarification, we're updating the pre-existing plan to now reflect the Law Enforcement Bureau classifications that were previously approved by the commission. And that information is now here. I would just the formal would be a formal step to add those.
Matt yes. Thompson, and I'm not sure whether this is more appropriate to address with this or when talking about policy 4400, but there were significant steps taken a few years ago to remove all references to compensation because they weren't seen as under the purview of the Merit Commission. So adding the grades in there, I understand that that's part of the policy to add that into the classification plan. I just don't want to see a scenario where it ends up that the county council says, well, we can't change it because the Merit Commission hasn't approved that you change that grade. And Merit Commission rightfully saying, well, we don't have the authority to change that because that's under the county council. So I would like to see something, some language added to the classification plan that clarifies that the Merit Commission is deferring to the county council and to Sheriff's Office HR for any actual grade right. compensations and adjustments to that.
Okay. Could we do that like by just putting a little asterisk after the word grade on each?
Can I ask Karina, do you see an issue with that?
So, you know, with our job descriptions, right? You guys, you know, approve, you know, the classification, county HR, we go, they do the market review, do the grade, and on the job description, we don't state that. And so I think, you know, everyone's, you know, familiar with the process, but I don't mind adding an asterisk if you know, that would be helpful.
Because it's just available to just anyone who wants to look at it or who...
Yeah, generally we have not made it available. It's in our Peace Officer Merit Commission file within the Sheriff's HR office. Certainly if someone asked for it, but yeah, it's not necessarily a public, you know, record. So, but I don't mind adding that if that's, yeah.
If I may, there's in section 4400 or policy 4400 is up for review. I would say if you just add something under 1.0, a subsection under that says something to the effect of that the Merit Commission is not responsible for the fiscal decisions of what the actual grades are. As important. Something to
effect. And I think that's something we can certainly consider when we get to that item on the agenda. But I like the suggestion. I mean, I think as a standalone document. It doesn't hurt to, you know, clarify those sort of things. Is it absolutely required? Probably not. I think the understanding it is that we don't have control over those things. But that being said, I agree. I think it helps to just make that more clear. So,
especially when we get this, it is for us to review it and make sure that it comports with the things that we have done, like the description, their qualifications, those things. And it seems, you know, to put a line through the grade so we can't see it, that doesn't make sense. But we're just looking to approve what we've already approved before.
Okay, any other comments?
Sorry, can I just
clarification?
Ryan Scotland, Public Safety Bureau. I'm also with the association. Can we do the asterisk on that sheet and the one that Matt Thompson's referring to as well?
So your suggestion would be to add the
sentence or two.
Yeah.
Description.
So that if you were
here.
Only looking at that sheet, yeah.
Yes, we're looking at this and we see that, but it doesn't mean anything to us. We don't act on that.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think it's fine. I personally don't have a problem suggesting that. I don't know that it absolutely needs to be required for us to approve this.
No, I don't either. But if there's a room for it, just a small insertion down at the bottom, I don't think you'd have to
I'm fine with that, yeah.
Because this is a very nice product that you have where you could just see it all right there. I like that.
Could I just say that we'll approve this today pending maybe some verbiage that you would recommend to us, just send that maybe in an email and we can make sure that that's good. I also would just say, make sure that it's properly written.
Exactly.
Sergeant and Lieutenant make a great point. I support it, but just make sure maybe the verbiage, because I'm not sure that we can get it in our time that we have today. Maybe just suggest that to us later.
Exactly. And Commissioner Salazar needs to sign that. So when I send it over, I'll add that verbiage and make sure that you're comfortable with
okay.
it. Yep.
You'll be copying on that as well.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Does that sound satisfactory?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. All right. Okay. Anything online?
Nope.
All right. Okay. Well, with that, we'll close public comment. Bring it back to the commission to entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion to approve the Peace Officers Merit Commission Public Safety Classification Plan for the Sheriff's Office.
I will second that.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded to approve the plan as it's been presented today. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay. All right.
4910 first.
We are on item number 5. I'm going to just call it. Sheriff Rivera, I acknowledge that you're in the meeting here, and we've gone through a few things here. I don't know if there's anything you want to add at this point or say, or if you want to come back at the end of the meeting, but just wanted to give you an opportunity maybe to make any comment if you'd like.
The only comment that I have is I'm happy to see so much engagement in this meeting. Makes me happy because there's a lot of eyes on what we're doing. So very happy with that. And just wanted to thank all of you for your time. I am going to have to pull off soon, but just appreciate what you guys do for us.
Okay, well, we checked it.
You
send it in later.
Thank you.
You that one first.
All right. Okay. All right, moving on to agenda item number 5. I think we'll take whatever time is needed, but I think we can get through this agenda today.
Okay, good.
Commissioner Bertram is suggesting we start with 4910, which is
okay.
It might be faster to
perfect.
Get through.
Okay, so this is our administrative review policy, and really just some technical changes on the front page, removing UPD, then turning to the back or the second page. We are adding that when we do administrative reviews, that we ensure that it complies with the Utah Open and Public Meetings Act. And the reason for this is the plain reading of this policy appears to give the Merit Commission discretion on how to conduct those administrative reviews. It talks about the Merit Commission may determine the specific methods to be used for matters reviewed under Section 2.4 or 2.5, including but not limited to private interviews, reviews of documents, public hearings, and discussion, or any other process which the Merit Commission finds appropriate. So when you read that, you think they can do private interviews and things of that nature, but what we've learned is that needs, if they're a quorum, that needs to comply with the Open and Public Meetings Act. So we want to provide that clarification so that there is no misinterpretation of this policy. And so that's why that information has been added.
And it's important to note that for purposes of transparency as well, I mean, not only does the law require it, but I think
yes,
we all agree
we
that
all agree about
being
that.
Transparent and public in what we do
absolutely.
Is important. So that, I think this is an important clarification, Commissioner.
Yes, Ms. Lucy, I think at the date, the 2005 should be
there. Okay.
It's easy to just cross it on with the 5, but I know you like things to look very.
Yep. No, that's important. That's important. Thank you for catching that.
She got you.
She did. She got me.
I finally came through. It was just a test.
Anything else, Commissioner Bertram? Okay. Let's open this up to public comment then. Again, just a couple of changes, simple changes, but important changes. So any comments anyone would like to make? Are there concerns or in support of, or this is great? And, okay. Anything online?
Nope.
Anybody online who would like to mute themselves, again, feel free to raise your hand or speak, or forever hold your peace. Yes?
Chief Youth, Public Safety Bureau, I support the changes and the recommendations.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. We like hearing that, too. So it's, it gives us a sense that we aren't having to second guess what anybody might be thinking about in this. Okay, if there's no further comment, we'll close the public comment and bring it back to the commission. I'll entertain a motion.
I will move that we approve the Deputy Sheriff Merit Commission policy and procedure administrative reviews 4910 as written with the changes that came with the review and the 2025.
I'll second that.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded to approve that policy 4910 as presented. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Let's move on then to policy 4400.
Okay. And this is a policy that we were previously referencing, the Public Safety Job Classification Plan and Practices, policy 4400. On the first page, there's just some technical changes, changing the word officer to deputy, removing UPD. Then if you go to the second page, again, there is changes, officers to deputy, and classification was removed. It didn't make sense, so in the event a new position is created and approved, the position will be classified and become part of the classification plan. So just for clarity, that word classification was removed. Then moving on to the next page, it referred to a career ladder. We no longer have per se career ladders. And what it's really referring to is the public safety pay plan. So again, just making, you know, clarification that outside service credit will use to be considered in terms of initial placement in and future advancement on the public safety pay plan, where it used to say career ladder. So I don't think that would make sense to most people. We need to be clear that outside credit is not counted towards, nor does it affect the service date, the hire date, or the merit date, except as specifically provided for in other merit commission policies. So then we talk about the qualifying experience, and this is where the big change is. We are going to count credit on the pay plan, one for one, whether you have LEO experience, BCO, or SFO. So if you are applying to our Corrections Bureau from our Public Safety Bureau, you will receive one for one credit on where a correctional officer would fall. Same with the outside. The industry standard has changed, and this has been, you know, a recent change, but UPD, for instance, if they hire one of our correctional officers, they will give them one for one credit coming over to the Law Enforcement Bureau. We've looked into other agencies. They are doing the same thing, and that is to be competitive. But internally, we feel like this allows our people to move to another bureau without, you know, necessarily losing pay. If they're interested in going to LEB, they're going to get that one-for-one credit, you know, being a correctional officer, and they have that option. They may still need to meet the minimum, you know, requirements or those types of things, but we want our members to be able to move around to the different bureaus, and we feel like by giving that one-for-one credit, regardless of the certification, and again, this is for pay, you know, not necessarily qualifying, that they receive that credit.
Could I just
yes.
interject something here before we get into, you know, further down the road? Just before the qualifying experience, there are two paragraphs. One starts with, prior to January 5th, 2016,
yeah,
a new full-time employee shall receive service credit. Could you explain that paragraph
sure,
to me, please?
Sure, sure. So this change that we're recommending would be, you know, moving forward. But prior to January 5th, 2016, a new full-time employee would receive service credit at the rate of one half rounded to the nearest whole year. So that wasn't retroactive when we made these prior changes that are listed there. So that's 6.1, 6.2, 6.3. We made some revisions. So when we made those revisions, that was again moving forward, and those were made likely in 2016. But if you were hired prior to 2016, we weren't going to go back and change everyone's pay. So we put that paragraph in there stating that prior to January 2016, here's how it was calculated. Now here's how it's going to be calculated, which was the 6.1, 6.2, 6.3. But now we're saying we're modifying that to what is in 6.1.
So
I know that's you know.
What makes it clear that it's prospective and you're not going to go back and recalculate everybody's?
Exactly.
Because they had been previously given credit and you're not going to recalculate there.
Do we need to change that?
Yes.
Thus the pay inequities that the sheriff's office has experienced in the last 40 years.
Yes, yes.
Well, going way back.
And Merit Commission policy actually states that the policies, you know, are, you know, moving forward and not retroactive. But I think that language was put in there just to clarify. But yes, for this change, the same thing, it would be moving forward. If you didn't get credit previously and you went to a different bureau, your pay isn't going to change. That would be moving forward.
Should we say that rather than prior to? What?
Well,
are you just going back to the way it was, or you're changing their amount?
Yeah, so there's a couple of different things going on. So the prior to January 5th, 2016 refers to the current policy without these revisions. So it refers to this 6.1, 6.2, and 6.3 prior to any of those revisions being made. And it's saying if, you know, you were hired prior to January 5th, 2016, your qualifying experience was at the rate of one half rounded to the nearest whole year. That was the service credit that you received.
That would be perfect, what you just said, because then it says in the event that you worked prior to January 5th.
Okay, so in the event, okay.
Yes, you were paid at such and such now, you will be, you know, with under the revised 4400, you will be paid thusly. Because prior to, the person shall receive this. I think that it's at least not clear to me. I'm sorry, I'll admit that, but it's what you just had said made it perfectly clear that for the people who worked here prior to January 5th, 2016, they were paid such and such, and that's going to be rounded and changed the way you've got the rest of it written.
Let me ask it then, I guess, another clarifying question. So are we saying, you know, so we're making this, we would be making this policy change prospectively.
Mm-hmm.
Someone, let's say, makes an application, goes through it to determine pay then, are we saying then that any experience they had prior to January 5th, 2016 is only going to be counted at half, but then anything after that would be counted whole, the one for one that we're changing it to?
Yeah, that's...
In Karita, I guess I see also, maybe it needs to be clarified, with this.
If we need to strike that.
So if I got 20 years and they extend beyond 2016, before that, are you only counting that at half?
That's my question.
Yeah.
And then the rest gets to hold. The other thing I see in this is, let's say that I've been a corrections officer for 20 years and I get hired as an LEO officer, a law enforcement deputy, and I get that 20 years toward pay, yet I'm sitting across the room from somebody that got hired 5 years before me and had 20 years as a corrections officer, comes over, I'm going to make more than he does or they do, because they were not given credit at all for the corrections officer experience, and they became a law enforcement officer. Whereas now we're saying, listen, anything that you've got, mm-hmm. constable, mm-hmm. state trooper, federal agent, that could create a pay inequity. And I'm a little concerned about that, because if, like I said, people hired within, let's say, a five-year period, from this date forward, I'm getting full credit, whether as a corrections officer, a PSO, or a law enforcement officer. Where I think that the inequity would happen is, I've got another correction. You know, maybe I had 10 years as a corrections officer. I got hired as a law enforcement officer. I got none of that toward pay. So I'm a five-year deputy getting whatever amount on the scale, 5 years. Yet that person that also worked 10 years in corrections, or maybe, you know, a few extras, now he comes over, or they come over, and they get hired. They are maxed out at their full, and I'm making less until I get maxed out than they are. Yeah. That could create, in my mind, that creates
some
in that situation. Because we're giving, and I think the fact that you brought constable up, is a good example, is that, there would be people that view that they're a constable, part-time or whatever their role is, but you're going to give them, as a law enforcement officer, the full credit, and a corrections officer, the full credit if they come into law enforcement. Even if they're a basic, a BCO, if they go and put themselves through the police academy and get hired, you're going to give them all that credit as if they were a law enforcement officer. And they're going to be competing against, not competing, their pay will be from somebody hired prior to this policy is going to be, they're going to make more than I do, and I can't make that up. You're not going to go and self-correct those behind us.
Yeah.
And I'm because of that, and again, I'll go back to, we had a pay inequity in the early 90s, similar to this, more of the, people were getting credit, not getting credit, and we have people that have a year on that are making a step four, and we've got people that are, they're making more than people hired before them. I wonder if that's a concern here.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
Can I, Lieutenant Scott Laughlin, I believe that the law enforcement and the public safety deputies aren't changing. I think that's how the policy is written for them is, right now, if as a corrections deputy, I could go and go like West Valley or even to our LEB and get the one for one.
Right.
I believe the only thing this one's changing is making it, and so a public safety deputy could come to corrections and get the one for one.
The way that I'm reading this is, let's say that, Lieutenant, you've been hired 5 years ago, so let me back up. In the LEO, if I was applying for an LEO job in the last 5 years, they haven't existed, but yeah. Let's say last year that somebody came in and it was one of our corrections officer or PSOs, and they applied, let's say a corrections officer, that's a good one. So I come in, I got 5 years in the jail, I got hired last year when we created the LEO division again, and I got hired, did I get 5 years toward pay as a corrections officer in my LEO job?
What I'm hearing is...
Yes.
So that's what UPD is doing, and that's what they've continued to do.
Okay. Yeah. But the sheriff's office has not been doing that, is my understanding.
So last year, if I got hired in the last 12 months as a law enforcement deputy in the Bureau, and I never worked as a law enforcement officer, but I'd worked as a corrections officer prior to that, did I get all that pay, toward my pay, did I get all of those years that I worked as a corrections officer to count toward my pay in the law enforcement bureau?
And have we hired corrections?
We've hired a PSB.
Yeah, PSB's only one for one.
You got one for one.
But the PSB says LEO.
But he had LEO certificate.
Yeah, he had LEO certification.
But it wasn't.
So
he wasn't using that certification.
So let me give you, let me maybe go back and let's say that we hired, let's say when we split from UPD, there was an individual hired in 2020 as a law enforcement officer at UPD. And prior to that getting hired, they worked in our jail for 5 years. And they got hired at UPD. They didn't get the 5 years toward their pay as a law enforcement. We didn't give them credit. So now they switched over to the sheriff's office last year, and they are based that pay on their UPD. So they're a scale five or whatever, S5, you know, on their pay. They're not getting the 5 years prior where they'd be a 10. That person now is working at the sheriff's office. You hire a 20-year or 10-year corrections officer onto the sheriff's office law enforcement bureau, and they get 10 years. And now they're standing next to this person, and they're at a step 10, and they're at a step 5. And this person's only been here for 2 weeks, and this person's been a law enforcement officer for 5 years. That would be a pay inequity potentially for the two of those. And I'm trying to think of, they're standing next to each other looking at pay stubs. They've been here 2 weeks, and I've been here 5 years as a law enforcement officer.
Well, just kind of a thought. So the reason, kind of what brought this to our attention was UPD, and right, some of our chiefs and stuff have come from there, and they're saying that the Merit Commission approved that, and that's what they do. So they said that if a correctional officer is, you know, hired with UPD, they get 1-for-1 credit. If an SFO is applied with UPD, they get 1-for-1 credit. Is that accurate? So that's where we thought, okay, this is something that's been approved, you know, by the American, was our understanding. Now I need to do a little bit of more research. So then it's like that we wanted to, you know, perhaps continue on that, and does it make it more office-wide that we can have people, you know, changing bureaus and their whatever experience they have, they you know, get credit for that, which allows them to move. Otherwise you kind of get people pigeonholed because of the pay. But what I'm thinking, because of our time, is what I'd like to do is check on UPD's policy on their outside service credit, how it reads, and also take it back for discussion with our leadership, our staff, based upon the concerns that are here, and that we table this for a follow-up meeting. I think you brought some good points that I would like to vet out further with our leadership and staff.
And by the way, just Karina, I support making sure that if the idea is that we're competing with other agencies that are saying, listen, whether you're a corrections officer, special function officer, or an LEO, we're going to give you that toward pay.
Yeah,
I think we that's a great idea, and I think we should. I just do not remember, and maybe I'm wrong, and it's been a while, but we may have approved this for UPD that we gave 1-for-1 for corrections and PSO or an SFO and federal agents. We may have already done this, and this may not be an issue because we go back to 2016 and it was corrected then. So we've got 10 years and we're not. More than 10 years, you're maxed out. Yeah. I just want to make sure that we don't have somebody that's an anomaly, been here 5 years, UPD, and now here, and somebody comes in and they weren't given the same credit. They've been a corrections officer before. If that is not the problem, then I absolutely, but I want to make sure we don't leave somebody out.
Yeah, and I think, you know, like you said, if we're going to look at retroactive, that would be probably fiscally not, you know, doable. But I do know that, and this is where I want to do some research too, is that with pay, it's generally, you know, what you're offered at the time. And someone may have been offered something different, or there was a different pay plan at that time. And so, you know, I want to look at that too, that, you know, does it, you know, get our legal guidance? Does it create an inequity, or are we okay because, you know, pay changes and it's, you know, what you're offered at the time, and it doesn't necessarily have to be retroactive. But I want to make sure we're vetting that out, like you said, Commissioner Bertram, that we don't get into any kind of a lawsuit or that type of thing. So we'll be consulting with our legal counsel as well.
And by the way, the retroactive, I don't think that anybody gets that. They made an agreement when they got hired. But what I do see is that if somehow that did create an inequity, I want to make sure we avoid that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And okay. You know, it seems to me that when we have been putting the categories and what people have, that it makes, we have always had it for the one-for-one in the pay plans or the different, the exam plans to take it, they're all in the whole numbers, and so this cutting it in half and all, I just don't.
Yeah, that's how it was done prior. That's how it was done prior, and it's recognizing that so that someone doesn't say, well, wait a minute, I was hired in 2012 and I only got half credit. So it's recognizing that, yes, if you were hired prior to 2016, you only got half credit.
So
yeah.
To help me here, it would, when you say that, you know, that January 5th, 2016, you're really saying that a new full-time employee received service credit for all of that qualifying experience at the rate of half.
Yes, if they were hired 2016
not that they
or
shall
prior.
Receive it.
Exactly.
That's, I guess, what's throwing me.
Shall.
It's
okay.
Prior to this, now you shall receive.
Okay. Okay.
It in half,
okay.
And I was worried that it was getting.
So maybe received
in
instead of shall.
How could they qualify for these different tests to even to take? And so I think you just don't want that shall in there, that you want to say something about the employee received service credit.
And I've noted it the same way.
Okay.
Okay.
And I think it's important to clarify that this is a pay piece, and it's totally separate from qualifying to test.
Sure.
Yes.
Or to be appointed, you know, at a certain
level.
Sure, but
you
rank.
Don't want to get it so that it
I agree,
would be confusing that somebody would say, well, I should be getting, you know, shouldn't be getting half or something.
If I may just make a suggestion
here
going forward, because it sounds to me, and I'm going to make some making assumptions here. One, I want to say, I commend you for making the change, because I think in order for the sheriff's office to be competitive, this change needs to be made. I come from Salt Lake City, where for the city's police department, I mean, this is the direction they've already gone. They're crediting one for one, and it wasn't always that way.
Yeah.
So I think you're in the going down the right path.
And did you not do it retroactive out of?
So the suggestion I will make, and this may even help to balance or minimize any fiscal impact, because I think you want to be clear that if we're going to make a change going forward, we're talking about a prospective change. We're not talking about going back and recalculating every what people got credit for. But I think it's important to credit people the same across the board, but prospectively. You say, from this date forward, as of today, we will now go back and credit you. We're not going to retro pay you, but going forward, you know, your date, your pay could be impacted. You could be eligible now for the same one for one experience, but that's just going to be going forward. So there still may be some financial impact, you know, on budget if you're having to pay now a certain group of officer or deputies more than what you were budgeting for initially. So I think it's important to draw that line that this is a change that is prospective only, and you're not going to go back and say you're going to recalculate and then say now you're owed all this money from the time you were hired to this date.
Okay.
That'll help minimize any kind of financial or fiscal impact
on
the budget, but I think you're headed down the right path.
Okay.
To make the change so that you are competitive, because if you don't, you won't be.
Yes.
And I think every opportunity you can give for that movement, even within the sheriff's office from one bureau to another, is, you know, I applaud that.
Okay.
I think there are ways you can do this, but it certainly merits some additional thought and conversation and discussion about what makes the most sense going forward.
And I think that we all are commenting based on the fact that it's the credit for the service, the qualifying credit, not the pay. We're not talking about what you're paying people, but that we are looking for it so that it can be consistent and helpful.
Okay, unless there's any other, just one thing. We talked about the probation and parole officer.
Yes.
I would just, there is a, we took it out two lines below, but I would add that back in.
Okay.
That would be it. And then, if, I don't know if the timing would get it on the next agenda, Karita, we could.
If there's time enough to do that?
If there is, if you can get it on the
yes.
next agenda next
okay.
week, I would be, yeah, to get this taken care of. If you can, I understand.
Okay, exactly. Yeah, we'll see how much time.
Okay.
I know we have a training and. So I might have to schedule a third, but that's okay, right? Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we'll table this then for a future discussion.
Perfect.
I think we've gone through our list, Commissioners.
Yeah.
Yeah,
we did it. So unless there's anything else. Okay. Yes?
Can I just offer one historical piece on 4400?
Name, please.
Sorry, Matt Thompson. Oh, I want permission first. So,
on 4400, sir?
On 4400. So on 4400. So we actually have had twice in the sheriff's office that this sort of thing has happened previously. In 2007 and 2016, where they offered a different level of prior service credit, the solution at that point was that those that wanted to claim the higher level of service credit were separated from the office for one day, paid out everything, and then brought back at the new rate. So if, for those that may have been like topped out in experience or years already, then there was nothing to take for that. But if they only had a year on or something like that, they may benefit greatly from that and chose to do that, but it was something where they could like to do that.
Doesn't sound ideal, but that could be a lot of people that you have to let go for a day in order to do that. But I think at this point, looking at all avenues and considering all ways to try to move this forward, I think any and all ideas should be considered.
That's
so.
True.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Well, thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
With that, we will close this meeting. I'll move that we adjourn.
I'll second that.
All right. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Thank you all again for your work.
Thank you.
Thank you.